Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Janessa Hoffman, and John will be joining the show in 1 minute. I just have a quick intro here, if y'all could hold on. Thank you. John, you'll be on the line and... Good evening, John. Happy Halloween.
Jane Hoffman, put thy holy hammer down.
I'm kind of a drifter today. I just got out of a staff meeting, and I'm ready to roll. I did call John Hancock, the man running for Minnesota Supreme Court, who has no website, no Minnesota residence, and will only return media calls by email.
He could be the right man for the job.
Well, if he calls in the middle of the show, then we'll have to take the call. But otherwise, it's open topic tonight.
Awesome. So what's on your mind this lovely day?
Just last night at 2 a.m., I put a resignation notice in for my third job. I just can't handle it anymore, working 75 to 80 hours a week. So there's conflict of schedules. I have to drive Lauren to his fast food job 3 days
right.
a week. And there's just too much conflict, and I don't want to have to be I can't even go to the gym anymore. So I'm happy I made the decision for now. They said I could come back in December if I wanted.
Well, that's pretty cool. So, I mean, you've got some leeway there.
And the Holy Hammer is coming to Los Angeles December 21st through the 30th, so beware.
I'll be sure to notify airport security.
You, me, and Bob are going to take headshots for our show.
Oh, nice. That'd be awesome.
Maybe I'll pencil you in for a studio date at the Whiskey.
Wow. So maybe we'll have the command off with their heads when you arrive.
Maybe you and Bob can be book signing at Borders, and I'll be your media consultant.
Yes, I love it. That's a plan. That's so awesome.
And why don't you talk a little bit while I text Bob, because I forgot to text him about the show.
Absolutely. Well, this is kind of a magical time of the year. A bunch of different things converge. If you're into sports, it's a time where there's pro football, pro basketball, and pro baseball, and college football. All this stuff's happening all at once, and it's like a sports fan's, you know, dream come true. It's a convergence that just happens for a week or two in December. Tonight is the World Series, the finale, Game 7. It'll be the Kansas City Royals versus the San Francisco Giants. I'm from the Bay Area, and, of course, I'm a Giants fan. And if you've watched any of the games, you've seen Steve Perry, this lead singer from Journey, come out around the 7th or 8th inning and start leading the crowd and singing Don't Stop Believing. So I think that's probably a great career move for him. But it's kind of inspirational to see these teams go out there and, you know, out of, I don't know, 30-some teams, you get down to the last two, and it's all about, you know, their will, their heart, and their talent to survive. So it's an exciting time of the year.
So please give us an update. Is it 3-3 right now for the game?
It's 3-3. The Giants are the road team. The Royals had the home field advantage. Four of the seven games were in Kansas City. And in the situation, the Giants took a 3-2 series lead. But at that time, everyone's kind of favoring them. But the thing is, when it goes back to Kansas City for the last two games, it kind of swings the other way. The other team usually wins. And a home team on a seventh game tied 3-3 series, eight of the last 10 times it's gone to the home team. So it's, the momentum has kind of shifted back to them. So it's one of those things where the funny thing is, because it's not an East Coast team like New York or Boston, and it's not a big market team like L.A., it actually has pretty low ratings. So maybe Game 7 will kick up the ratings, but, you know, it's like no one really cares about small market teams or the smaller market teams. They just care about the big boys.
I'm sure it's pretty exciting for you when the Minnesota Twins won the World Series in 87 and 91 with Kirby Puckett. It was a huge deal around here.
It inspires you because you start thinking of things in your own life that you go, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. And then you see a team that you've been rooting for, especially if you get in the philosophy of the team or how they play. And then they succeed and you go, you know, hey, maybe I can succeed. And so, yeah, for the community, it does pick up everyone. It's a good pick-me-up. And along with that, in this time of year, it's Halloween this week. And we were pitching ideas earlier, and one thing I suggested is, you know, is every day Halloween for you? What disguise do you wear? There was a couple movies that Jim Carrey was in that kind of touched along those. One was A Mask, where basically, you know, the person found this ancient mask that had mystical powers, and when you put it on, you became a super whatever you were. If you were lonely, you became super lonely and dark. If you were a creep, you became a super creep with great powers. The other one was Liar, Liar.
I'm talking about Halloween now.
Yeah, and just also the other movie, Liar, Liar, and it's just how people are always lying, and this father's son blows out the candles on his birthday cake and wishes that his dad would stop telling lies because his dad's always lying.
I love that movie. I love Jim Carrey, and it's true how many white lies turn into big lies.
Right, so kind of along that subject, it's like Halloween. You know, in a way, I think socially, it's kind of something for people. It's a little excuse or escape to, you know, for a night or two or a weekend bash to become what you really want to be that you feel you can't be or inhibited by. You know, so people dress up as, you know, the French maid or as Lucifer or whatever. And it's kind of like, it's almost free license. One year, I remember Slick and I, we went out
what
to
do
Hollywood.
What do you think? Since it's All Hallows Eve, and the Christian goal was to drive out the demons before All Hallows Eve Day, on November 1st, All Saints Day, I meant, how should people dress? Should it just be a material cultural thing, or should it be a solemn occasion?
Well, you know, that is interesting, because after that, too, also there's the I think it's the Day of the Dead, you celebrate in Mexico just a couple of days later, and they celebrate
right.
Dead souls. It's kind of an interesting social experiment, because, like, one Halloween, what I wanted to do with one Halloween was have someone dress up as Jesus with a cross, and with, like, you know, the whole blood makeup and the whole thing, have a couple guys as Roman soldiers whipping them, going through the street, and have, like, me and Slick playing guitar, and Slick, you know, preaching or singing a song about, you know, Christ and the crucifixion. I thought, whoa, talk about give your kids some nightmares, you know, trick or treat. But I thought that would be, like, just a crazy presentation. I'm sure we'd like
well,
to get all
Well,
can
I mention something before we get really going on this subject? First of all, the chat room is open if anyone's listening to live stream. Now, we've had a tremendous, I'd say we had a 50% gain in listenership in the last 10 days. We've had two of our, when I talked about John Hancock's Ghost Run before and you were talking about your movie deal, that got 17 hits and the show with you, me, and Bob on Sunday got 18 hits, and my show on Monday night got 9 hits. So we're really rolling in. And then also All Saints Day in the Roman Catholic Church, who had, I think they originally coined it, and so did the Orthodox Church. It officially is called the Solemnity of All Saints and All Hallows or Hallow Mass, often shortened to All Saints Day, celebrated on the 1st of November by parts of Western Christianity and on the first Sunday after Pentecost in Eastern Christianity, in honor of all the saints known and unknown. In Western theology, the day commemorates all those who have attained the beatification vision of heaven. It's a national holiday in many historically Catholic countries. In the Roman Catholic Church, the next day, All Souls Day, specifically commemorates the departed faith who have not been purified and reached heaven. Okay, they're probably just talking about dead people who are in purgatory. All Souls Day is the fundamental belief that there is a prayerful spiritual communion between those in the state of grace who have died and are either being purified in purgatory or are in heaven, the church penitent and the church triumphant, respectively, and the church militant who are living. Other Christian traditions define, remember, and respond to the saints in different ways. Just so you know, that's all I'm going to read. There's also an Eastern tradition that we don't have time for.
Wow. Well, you know, it's I like where you said something about Christians militant, you know, those that are alive. It's like that's kind of where I'm at mentally. It's like it's a war. It's a jungle out there. I think
maybe it's because we're the ones that are keeping the church alive, the faithful.
Well, what's interesting is that in all this stuff, it's kind of, when you look at the history of it, I think it tends to be a case of if you can't beat them, join them. It's like the pagans used to celebrate these different events, you know, whether it's around Christmas or around Halloween or around Easter. And the Catholic Church, of course, didn't want the pagans to celebrate pagan events, so they kind of assimilated some of these traditions and put a little Christian twist on it. And so I think what happens, you know, some of that's good, but on the other hand, one thing about Halloween, it's one of those holiday or events, I should call it, where somewhere, somehow, there's always something freaky or weird that happens.
Like,
you know, something.
1 year, Melissa's a church member at First Baptist of Beverly Hills. Her cat disappeared four to five days before Halloween. It was a black cat, and people think that they were sacrificing for Halloween.
Well, you know, I lived in San Jose for the first 30 years of my life, and right next to San Jose, of course, up north is San Francisco, but to the side of it, kind of a little bit south, is Santa Cruz. And in Santa Cruz, in the mountains, it's kind of these big, steep mountain ranges that would block off the ocean from San Jose. When you get to San Francisco, it doesn't. So to go to Santa Cruz to the beach, you kind of have to go over the hills, 25, 30-minute scary, crazy, wild ride on Highway 17. But they used to kind of say the crazy people live in the mountains and hills. And every Halloween, practically, it just seemed like someone would disappear. You know, and you'd find them later, you know, body parts cut up, or they'd never find them at all.
And this happened every year?
Not every year, but, you know, just like even if it happened once every 5 years is enough to make people freaky about it. I remember one time I went to go buy a keyboard. I was married at the time, and we were driving along. We drove about 35 minutes through the Santa Cruz Mountain Hills to get to this, pick up this keyboard I really wanted at a great price. As we're going along, about halfway through, my ex-wife at the time, she was like, I'm really feeling uncomfortable about this. I want to go home. No, we're more than halfway there.
Were you going to somebody's house to get it?
Going to like kind of like a Craigslist type of thing, you know, like someone placed an ad in the wanteds, and I don't even think we had Craigslist back then. It was like in the mid-80s. But we were driving to go, you know, pick up at a place we don't even know. We just got an address and a phone number, and we're driving through, you know, buy it from a stranger, give them some cash, and, you know, call it a night. And every minute that kept passing, as we're getting closer and closer to this place, my wife is like going, can we turn around? Can we go home? I just
like
don't want to be in the car.
Like she had a creepy feeling?
Got a creepy feeling, going on and on. This goes on. We get to literally within like half a mile from the place. I mean, we're like right at the door practically. And she says, no, just turn around. We got to go back home. I don't want to be out here. And I'm like, and we argued for like 5 or 10 minutes. It's like, we came all the way out here. I can't believe this. And finally, you know, out of love and respect, because I thought she had some premonition from God, right? So I'm like, okay, we're going to go home. As we're driving back, I noticed that there was some some signs about a missing gal called Tanya Zack, I believe was her name.
Tanya Zack.
And so when we get all the way back home, we started talking. I said, so, I mean, like, was the Holy Spirit speaking to you or God or whatever? He said, well, I said, you know, I was just kind of freaked out about that missing gal. I said, oh, you mean the missing Tanya Zack posters? I said, we drove, all, you know, we've spent an hour and a half here driving back and forth because you saw a poster of a missing gal in the mountains. I mean, granted, that's freaky, but still, it's like, so I told her, I said, I'm calling the guy back, and tomorrow I'm going back over there by myself. You're not coming along. And I went and picked up the keyboard.
What was her big sense of paranoia?
She just got freaked out. You know, everyone has a certain thing, and I think gals can be a little more susceptible to it. Guys are like, you know, go outside, see who's, you know, who the boogeyman is, you know. It's like we usually have to deal with the problems. You know, I think there's a burglar in the basement. Bob, go down there, you know. It's kind of that training
we grew up with a basement. I had some creepy feelings about it.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever seen those movies, Paranormal Activity, that are pretty realistic?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the first one with Nikki in a theater, and it was pretty good. I don't know, I just thought of it, it popped in my head right now, but I don't put a lot of weight into Halloween. You know, like one year I was walking in a Cinderella costume. I was 9 or 10, and I got egged. Someone threw a hard-boiled egg in my stomach, and it hurt.
Oh, my goodness.
Eat rocks. I was a skinny kid back then, probably 60 or 70 pounds. And
no, I wasn't laughing. I was laughing that someone would egg Cinderella. Oh, no.
Yeah, and then it happened twice in the same night. I think I should have just gone home at that point, but I didn't. I was a diehard.
You know, I forget that, you know, like, I'm not the kid that grew up pranking. I mean, yeah, we might pull little pranks on, you know, friends, but, I mean, not like go out and egg a house or, you know, toilet paper this and that. So I missed out on a few things.
I
got stopped
by the cops for leafing a house.
What's that?
I was supposed
leafing?
To be at church choir practice,
uh-huh.
And Bonnie and I left early, and we were going to go egg this guy's house,
uh-huh.
And I got in trouble, and the cops followed me home and talked to my parents.
Oh, mercy.
So I think I was a senior then because I was able to drive the car and stuff. So
I actually hooked up kind of, you might say, with my ex that way. I mean, we were dating, and then we kind of broke up, and I wanted to be
in high school.
Actually, I was 21 and a half. She was 16 and a half. So she's kind of a bit jailbait. But
you're terrible.
But, you know, well, she was after me. I wasn't, like, chasing her. Here's the thing. I didn't date till she was my first gal I dated. Gals at that age.
And then you married her. Uh-huh.
Well, gals at that age like to date guys who are 2 or 3 years older. Not always, but in general. You know, like a 15-year-old girl's looking at the seniors, you know, a 19-year-old girl's looking at some 22-year-old dude. Most 15, 16-year-old girls don't want to date a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old, right? They're not going to date, like, a younger guy. They want to date a guy
mm-hmm.
who's got a motorcycle or a car or who's cool. And that's how they look at it. So because as growing up, when I was 18, I looked like I was 14 or 15. So girls were not interested in me in high school, you know, in general, you know, unless they were really homely. So when I got to be about 19,
why,
20, 21.
Why, because you were skinny and scrawny?
I just look, you know, very young genetics, you know, I just look young. You know, I mean, people now, I mean, you know, they you know, I get in a bus and it's like I'm 55. I'm like, no way, no, impossible.
Yeah, you are pretty young looking for your age.
Right, which is an advantage when you're older, but when you're younger, it's a, you know, total disadvantage. You know, like I'm 21, 22, and gals think I'm like a 18 or 19. So that's attractive to a 15 or 16-year-old. So
right.
When I start hitting 20, 21, suddenly I'm getting female attention I never had before because it's like, hey, I'm marketable. So needless to say, she was singing in a backup in our band, and she tried out for it, made the band, and she didn't have a car, and of course I had a car, so I was giving her rides, and she's a very pretty gal. I just wasn't that attracted to her beauty.
Since we've talked about her for 3 shows now, why don't you post a picture of her?
Yeah, that would be good.
Or send it to my email at least.
That would be cool. I mean, she was.
I'm just nosy now because you've been talking about her so much lately.
Well, she kind of looks like Shania Twain, Raquel Welch. Kind of you mix those two together, and that's kind of what she looked like.
Is she part Latino?
Yeah, kind of like a Euro Spaniard kind of look. You know, so white skin, kind of brown hair.
I get the idea. Raquel Welch is gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, so when my gal walked in the room, she wouldn't necessarily be the most beautiful gal, but she would be one of the top three. You know, there would always be two or three gals, usually maybe the tall blonde chick or whatever, but she would always be in the top two or three. So, but the point being is, she was part of this group that wanted to egg or toilet paper the youth pastor's house, and I got wind of it, so I told them I was in on it, but I was really just in on it to bust them. So they were supposed to get the whole gang. There's like 20 kids that kept pranking the youth pastor, and I wanted to bust them all, right? So I said, I'm in. So we went to go do this thing, and it turned out all of them backed out except for my wife-to-be and a couple of her friends. So when we got there, it was kind of like a backfire. Like, it wasn't everyone that I wanted.
Like it was embarrassing, sort of?
Sort of, but we were committed to it, so we had to go through with it. So we, you know, said, okay, we'll go around the back of the house and do this and do that. So I, you know, kind of ushered him that way. And, of course, the youth pastor is waiting on the roof with a bucket of water and a hose. And
he already knew about it?
Yeah, I told him in advance. I said, hey, I'm bringing the group, you know, because I was, like, his informant. And so she got doused, her cousin got doused, and there were two other gals. But it wasn't the masterminds that we were trying to get. But in the point of it all, like, she was all wet and ran away, you know, from the, you know, the house. And so I caught up with her, and then she was just, hormones took over. She just kissed me in the middle of it all, kind of like a movie where they're in the rain. And,
that,
you know, it was
cool.
It was crazy in the streets, you know. I mean, we didn't have sex, but it was one of those, like, kind of almost innocent first love type
of thing.
Is that
the beginning of when it all started?
Yeah, that was the beginning of the fall.
A Halloween.
It's right about that time, too. And it wasn't specifically Halloween, but it was right around that time period. I remember that.
Are we going to retitle the show Hormonal Halloween?
Yes. Well, I think people, you know, when you talk about, like, I know people in the Spanish church, they will not celebrate Halloween. And in fact, I know a couple families, like, they've never celebrated Halloween. Like, their kids do not. And, you know, this year the kids are like, can we just want to wear our, you know, the Cinderella thing or the whatever outfit and just go out there. And they finally said, okay.
I think they should be able to wear a costume, even if it's to school.
Well, you know, what I told them, I said, you know, at the end of the night, these kids aren't going into a back room where you have an altar of Satan and you're going to sacrifice an animal and, you know, dedicate a virgin to Lucifer. I said, they're not celebrating that. They're just, you know, granted, there's a backstory to this stuff that there are some people doing some freaky, crazy druid stuff somewhere. But the point is, for 99% of the people, this isn't what it's about. It's just a social excuse to dress up and meet people and have fun. And for a lot of people, it's a chance to get drunk and try to have sex with some stranger or someone at a party. So, yeah, it can kind of go from innocent to bad.
That's just society's fears. You said it well yourself just a few minutes ago.
Right.
You know, just let the kids dress up, go door to door for candy. Some churches collect for UNICEF. You know, let goodwill be done. Some Christians call it a harvest festival, and they keep it all within the confines of the church.
Right, we have a harvest festival at our church.
I can see why some parents would be mad or scared if their kids are out in L.A. knocking on doors.
Well, it is one of those events that, you know, like, for 99% of the people, it's a great thing. But it is one of those events where, like, there's one out of a million, you know, there's some freak out there doing some crazy stuff. So you figure you got, you know, a couple hundred million people. There's going to be 200 or 300 acts of someone put a razor blade in the apple or poison this or some kid got abducted or whatever. And then it ruins the whole thing just because of one out of a million people. Loose.
Lauren trick-or-treated in Reseda, you know, for 2 years in a row.
Uh-huh.
1 year, Blake's great aunt died, so he couldn't go with our neighbor kid. But I took Lauren around, and it was a really, really cool neighborhood with cool treats and cool decorations. And that was in Southern California in the San Fernando Valley. And, you know, there was no harm done. It was all cool. And
one of the things, you know, my dad used to do, and, you know, he's a very conservative Christian, but they used to, on the farm, they'd have this kind of like almost like a haunted house. But what they did for the church is they, this event where they would kind of blindfold people and take them to the dark room. And in the room, one year, they did it consecutive years, this is out in Nebraska, where we did it, and they would use things that seemed like body parts. Like they would take something that would look like, so they would tell them, you know, ooh, you know, these are eyeballs, or this is that, and it wouldn't be like grapes, or it'd be a spaghetti or whatever. But they think, you know, and at the end of the tour, they would turn on the lights, take off the mask, and go, you know, oh, this is what you're playing with, right? But so the first year they had just fake things, faux things. The next year they went to like a, you know, a butcher place, and they got actual like
cow
eyes.
So they just made it look really creepy.
Yeah, oh yeah, he used to love to spook. He used to like hide on the side of the house, and we'd have some things in the front of the house, and he would have spooky music, and he would I think he dressed up with some kind of cape or something like that, and he would, when kids would go and get candy as they were leaving, he'd rush out and he'd scare them, right? You know, he's like ooh, and so kids loved it. Because the house had a reputation, so they actually would go there anticipating. Usually, the older ones would bring the younger, you know, brothers and sisters to see them get spooked.
And this was your neighbor in San Jose?
This was like my dad when I was growing up in San Jose. You know, at the house.
Your dad did it?
Yeah. And then later on, as we got older, and we moved to Nebraska for a couple of years, we would have the, like I say, kind of the haunted house type of tour thing, where they, one year they used fake things to simulate, you know, body parts. And the next year, everyone was like, oh, yeah, you got to go see it because it's all this, you know, just phony stuff, and it feels like it's
Halloween's
real.
Halloween's exciting in the Midwest with the fall.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Walking through the crunchy leaves.
Yeah, and the weather, and you've got, and then you have, like, farm, you've got, you know, countryside, dark, windy, all these kind of goofy, crazy stuff.
Yeah,
so
we don't live in the country. We live in the city, but some people do.
Well, the next year, Dad went to, like, a butcher place or something like that and got actual animal parts.
Ew.
So, like, cow eyes and liver. And
that's
this and that.
Creepy.
So when people were doing the tour, they're like, oh, don't worry, this is all just fake stuff. You know, he'll turn on the light. So he'll turn on the light.
Was your dad imaginative like you?
Oh, he was. He used to always tell this story, now that you mention it. And he would talk about how when he was younger, how he, and he made it very serious. It's like the kind of story where you got the flashlight underneath your face, right? So he's telling this story. He did it in public several times, like, you know, big events. He talked about how Halloween or whatever, they went to this place, it was like an insane asylum or this house where the people were crazy, and how they visited, and after that, there, every year, like, you know, once a year, the people who had been at this event would go crazy, you know, and he started talking about Joe and Uncle Bill and all these different people. And he says, yeah, he says, in every Halloween, you know, it always, and when he gets to the end of the story, he like, kind of goes crazy, you know, like he yells into the mic and starts running around the room, and people literally would just, because they think he was the next one to go crazy because of some curse or some, oh, that's right, there's some kind of curse or spell. He says, and every year we never know, you know, what's going to happen, and people would always wig out the way he would call, you know, tell the story.
Did he have a brother in Nebraska?
He didn't. He grew up in Illinois. I had four brothers, and most of them came out west. Three of them came out west to California, Sacramento and Elk Grove. We were in San Jose. And then the fourth brother lived in Oklahoma. But he chose Nebraska. He chose Nebraska because he wanted to get away from California and all the crime and problems and earthquakes in 1969. Thought that, you know, Jesus Christ was coming, the end of the world was going to be, and the whole West Coast would fall into the ocean, and that he just
there
wanted to get away.
There was a Jesus movement back then and a fear about California falling in the ocean, because I read a book in the early 70s about it.
Right, and he wanted to get the family away from that. The biggest thing is my brother was going to junior high and he in San Jose. He went to he didn't go to it, but they had a they opened up a new hall at school and they had a dance and a white guy I think tried to dance with a black gal. They had a big fight and they tore up the whole building and it was like a riot.
Where,
and they had to close.
You actually mentioned that on another show.
And Dad was like, that's it. I'm getting them, you know, going back to, you know, the mid, like, where is the farthest away from this? He picked the center of the United States. It's like Nebraska. He said, let's go live on the farm for a couple of years. It was a nice experience. And we ran out of money and had to go back.
Why? Because he didn't have a steady job?
In Nebraska, you either have to own a farm or own your own business. If you're working for someone and you have a family, it's just the wages are half. You know, the cost of living is about the same, surprisingly, because they have to import all the food, but outside, except for beef, but all the vegetables and stuff, they usually bring that in, and you, the wages are half. So at that time, it was just terrible. He almost had enough money, almost ponied enough to buy the country store. If he had gotten that, we would have stayed. We'd be living in Nebraska probably now. But it just couldn't put it together. And before he ran out of money, he said, we got to go back, you know, and got to survive and raise a family. That's what he did.
Well, it's not that easy to pick up to go back to California either.
No, we just barely made it.
And where did you stay when you got there?
He found a place, like, he literally, the backstory to it is, like, when he came out to California, there wasn't anything for him. And he actually walked around for a couple, you know, he tried for a week. And he told Mom later, he said, I went to a freeway overpass, I think it's a 17, which leads to Santa Cruz. And he looked out, he said, I was just thinking of jumping off. That's how depressed he was.
God, he was only out of work a week.
Yeah, but, you know, you're coming back to San Jose and, you know, the job market and you can't find anything and you're considered almost like, you know, unemployable because you've been away for a couple of years and he was had a good job before. But, you know, things worked out. He got in, I think, at Fireman's Fund. He was insurance. It was his specialty. And he used to, he would do a cost.
Insurance?
He'd do like cost analysis, like to bid for like say you had a big building, you know, like a $4 million building, and he would come out and go, okay, we can insure it, and let me look at your fire exits and your, you know, building code and all that stuff. So he was a little bit more of a specialist. But the point is, he got a job, and then you know, we came back home, packed everything up, and came out and started all over again.
Yeah, that's tough. Okay, you know what, we've talked for 35 minutes. I'm not feeling so well, so I'm going to do my wrap-up for 5 minutes, and then you can go into your situation of
cool.
Final thoughts. Since you have to get going soon, but not that soon. I did work a full work day today, and I literally walked in the door when the show started. So my final thoughts is... I grew up in a traditional Lutheran home. I remember celebrating All Saints Day. It wasn't until I moved to California that I celebrated the Day of the Dead, and Halloween's pretty crazy in West Hollywood. My church is right in the center of West Hollywood, and I remember people dressing up. I never really went to any of those parties too much, but I remember strongly the Day of the Dead ceremony going with Yale. And there were two families sitting around somebody's grave in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, and they were recent graves, and they actually had the picture of the person laminated on the grave. And I just remember the tender, loving care that Armenian family they had towards their beloved father who died, and it was a really cool experience. And people had, like, these lighted halos on their head, or they were dressed up in the Day of the Dead, like, skeleton outfits. And it wasn't a creepy atmosphere. It was a cool atmosphere. And that was one of the last things I did with Yale before I moved. And it was a good experience. And I feel like people should put a little bit of religion in every holiday. The purpose of All Hallows Eve is to drive out the demons, so we can recognize the holy figures, people who have gone on to sainthood. So people are capable of just as much evil as they are good. But at least we have something to look forward to in these holidays to reflect on, you know, who became a saint or why they became a saint, like Saint Patrick, who witnessed to a whole country in 568. And, John, you can take over now.
Well, look at you. Is it time to put the hammer down?
Yeah, I'm going to step away for a minute, and I'll be right back, okay?
Cool.
Go for it.
Well, as we discussed earlier, it is that time of year, and where people put on disguises. You know, the fantasy, they try to escape and be what they really, what at least what they want to be for a little bit of time, even if it's not practical to be all the time. And, you know, it's time for us, maybe we can reflect and say, are we putting on disguise every day? Are we hiding what we really want to be, who we really are? And if you could escape the facade of what society has, who would you be? What would you say? What would you do? And even beyond that, what would God want you to be? And that's even the higher consideration at this time of year, to think about putting on our best face, as it were. And I think all of us need to reflect and figure out, and especially with remembering the dead at this time of year also. Those who lived before us, you know, how did they live? What does it all mean? What's the sum of your whole life? What's it all about? And I hope and pray it's a good time for you, and you have a good time, and a safe time if you can. And I think socially, if you can interact with some people, bring a little light into their life and not get caught up in the crazy, but actually use your superpowers for good, not evil. You know, go out and have some fun with some friends and celebrate the goodness of the year, not the darkness of it. And unless you just want to have a creepy time. But either way, I mean, the main thing is to make it a good event and something positive and not something negative. And I think that will be successful. Whatever you do, be safe, and you know, try to be thankful for the day that you have and the life that you have. And if you're into sports, go Giants. And if you're for the Royals, go Royals too. You know, it's win-win. You got some small market teams going out there trying and chasing a dream. And I think it's a beautiful thing. You know, it's not the teams with the most money wasn't the teams with the best rosters. Just complete
teams. They were both
teams.
Wild card teams.
Both wild cards. And not the necessarily the best talent top to bottom, but combined as a unit, these were the best teams. The other teams that came out that had bigger marquee players, bigger budgets, they didn't perform as a team together. You know, they performed individually well. And so it's kind of exciting to see two complete teams that weren't as good as the others, but they banded together with a heart and soul and determination. And it's just a lesson for us in life. You know, you may not have all the best talent or the best education or the most money, but to be persistent and work together and be smart, and sometimes it pays off for you.
I forgot to mention that in less than a week, the nation will be voting on next Tuesday.
Well, that's right.
November 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So be prepared.
Yes. Vote for Jane. Write her in.
I had to stay up till 2 a.m. writing endorsements for the paper because our editor was disorganized and didn't have it ready. And they asked me to do extra work, and I was there from 10 o'clock till 2 in the morning, and I had to be at work at 7 this morning.
So your paper recommended, like if you're voting left or right, like these are kind of the best candidates that represent the party?
I just, you know, I didn't really make an official endorsement. What I did is I did a write-up on the candidates, and I listed their strengths and weaknesses, and people could choose whatever they can choose in their mind after reading my article, what they thought. Now, my friend Paul was doing his the way that the guy instructed him to. So we still have 9 minutes left, and I'm going to read a quote by Jimmy Carter, John's favorite president,
Jimmy Carter.
Reagan.
Jimmy Carter.
He's still alive, and he's not full of shit. He has his own Carter Foundation, just like Clinton does.
Wow.
And I'm trying to get to the quote, just a minute. Jimmy Carter. And he was my favorite president because he never compromised. Even though people didn't like his decision-making qualities. So here's the quote. If you don't want your tax dollars to help the poor, then stop saying you want a country based on Christian values, because you don't. Jimmy Carter.
Woo! Welcome back, Carter.
Welcome back, Carter. Did you know the star in that show is from Duluth, Minnesota?
No way. Gabe Kaplan?
Yeah, he's from Minnesota.
Look at that. And I liked that show. In fact, I loved that show.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Okay, I don't really have much more to say, so I'm going to let you close the show out.
Okay.
And I'm real sleepy.
You
are. So I'm going to go to bed.
Sleep is good. I highly recommend sleep. Let those who sleep in Christ arise, the last trump. And those who...
If I'm sleeping, will I miss the trumpet?
No, you'll hear it. It's going to be pretty loud. Unless you're a real deep sleeper. But nah, I don't think anyone's going to miss that one. The only question is if you'll be happy or sad when it blows.
I'm ready to exit the earth, and I hope it happens before winter.
Yeah, you know, I've seen it all. I've done it all. I have to say, there's very few things I didn't do or haven't done. So it's kind of liberating.
You haven't seen Minnesota.
Oh,
I've seen
Nebraska.
We're not flat up here.
That's true.
We have
hills.
And
you're not flat.
We have a giant lake.
You are round.
I was
going to
make
flat.
A joke, too.
But yeah, it's a different, you know, it's I've lived in very cold weather and in desolate isolation, and it was fun for a while. I think growing up it's a little more fun. When you get older, you kind of like, I want just a nice comfortable room, 75 degrees by the water, and I'm good to go.
As I get older, I want a more quiet life.
Really? You seem
Heck
to like the controversy,
yes.
Though.
I was even too tired to go to open mic last night, but I somehow went, and then it was canceled.
Really?
I was relieved that it was canceled.
That's a,
I'm
that's
actually
going
to do open poetry slam on Thursday, so I have to prep up for that.
Wow. Well, it's good
and
to keep...
Are you putting the dog in a Halloween costume?
Oh, no. I don't think they celebrate it, but I'm sure the dog has its own life. I mean, birthday parties, gifts.
He does?
He's got his own room, or she does, her own bed, although they
Is it one of those
cage.
Whiny, crappy dogs like Paris Hilton has?
No, it's a golden retriever. Actually, it's a pretty cool dog. A little spoiled, but no, it's a very cool dog, actually.
I like, those are my second favorite dogs.
Really?
Yeah, I like huskies first.
Mm-hmm. I do to see them and kind of play with them for a minute, but I don't know if I want to own a dog that, you know, can beat me up. Although, granted, after working with this dog for a while, my perception has changed. Before, I used to think, oh, man, that dog can take me. Now it's like, no, I can take that dog. It's like it's only...
You already have a boss that can beat you up.
It's only 50 to 80 pounds. I'm 140, you know, and all they have is the mouth. If you can close the mouth, that's it. You know, it's like the rest of them you can take head on. So it kind of, it's changed my perception. Before, it'd be like a dog like that would totally scare me. Now it's like, eh, come over here.
I know who took you down in the past.
Really?
The bulldog.
The bulldog, yes. But, you know,
but
that
his bark was worse than his bite.
I used to work for someone nicknamed the bulldog, but in fact, I actually nicknamed him that. Although he nicknamed himself that. One day he came